Okay. Let us appreciate Pastor Kathy for leading us so well today. Indeed, we want to be able to thank the Lord for your ministry here at Mamlaka Hill Chapel. As a parent of a teenager, I want to be able to say thank you so much for all the hard work that you have been able to put in. Just yesterday, we had a wonderful occasion of being able to be a part of something very special here at Mamlaka Hill Chapel. I mean, if you are a parent with a child between the age of 12 to about 19, yesterday we had a wonderful forum for the parents. And it's just good to be able to hear some of the things that children are going through, some of the things that we have to deal with, especially in matters pertaining to alternative lifestyles. And how are we going to be able to address that space? And just in case you are not completely aware of such a forum, I'd like to ask you to please go ahead and register the info desk to be put in the mailing list of this wonderful forum. It will go a long way in being able to just cater for your needs. I say this especially to all the Jamas. We are a bit few. We were about four men in a sea of quite a number of ladies. And as a pastor for Ahu, I was a little bit like, hey, where are all the Jamas? But just before we get into God's word today, I'd like to ask Pastor Tim to please greet us. I know that 2-3 years ago, we asked you to, you went back to the U.S., but it's good for people to hear your voice. Did you carry any greetings with you from the people out in the U.S.? Please greet us at this moment, Pastor Tim.
Thank you. It's a great opportunity to greet you. I did bring greetings from my home church, Elmbrook Church. They greet you and pray for you often.
Amen.
I've been retired for 2 years, so I'm an old man. And I work as a chaplain with the police and the fire departments, ministering to the police and the firemen.
Amen.
And so that's what's keeping me occupied. But it's a joy to be back among you. And it's wonderful to have heard the worship team that bring back very good memories.
Amen.
So thank you and bless you in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's good to be able to hear from Pastor Tim. And please, when you head back to the U.S., please take our greetings and salimia watu wa Wisconsin. Tafadhali. At this moment, we want to be able to just go on with where we left off last week. We are still in the middle of the book of, or rather, we are going through the book of Jonah. And today we come to a part of the book of Jonah, which is smack in the middle. And in a sense, I like even the murals that we have on the wall, because you have got Jonah being swallowed by a fish and we have Jonah being spat out by a fish. And there is this middle bit over here that we have to deal with. And so if you have your Bible, I'd like to ask you to please turn to Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. If you look into your Bible, it's on page 1228. That tells you that I'm a good Anglican. Back in the day when you used to have pew Bibles and you just basically remove and you know exactly which page. But we are in the modern age, so I'd like to ask you to maybe load your Bibles, or if you have the analog Bible, Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, we are going to read verse 17, jump a whole section and go to verse 19, two verses, and there is a method to all this. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And the Lord spoke to the fish," Jonah chapter 2 verse 10, "and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon dry land." And this is the word of the Lord. And you say, praise be to God. Amen. Earlier on, Pastor Kathy happened to have said that indeed the message today is actually entitled "The Bread, the Filling, and the Sandwich." The reasons behind that is because we find ourselves somewhere in the middle of the book of Jonah, and we almost need to be able to pause. It's akin to being to a football match, where you always have the first half, and then you have the halftime before you move on to the second half. And many a times, a number of people have left a football match in the middle and gone away, only to be told a little bit later of something massive that happened after halftime. Halftime is one of those moments when we are able to take stock of how we are doing and how everything is happening. When I turned 40, somebody gave me a book called Halftime. In a sense, they were telling me I was in the middle of my life. I need to be able to, take stock. So it's good for us to be able to take stock and ask ourselves where we are, even as we go forward with the book of Jonah. But more than that also, talking about halftime, it feels good that today, after 15 years of waiting, Harambee Stars is going to be featured in AFCON. Yes, at 11 o'clock. Yes, 15 years of waiting. Just one more record and my wonderful Arsenal is, I don't know what's happening. We still need to wait. But if Harambee Stars have qualified for AFCON, I think there is hope at the end of the tunnel, even for Arsenal to win their first silverware, or rather the premiership, after many, many years. And in a sense, why halftime? Halftime is because we get a time to be able to contemplate and think a little bit about our lives. Now, it's not that we are going to ignore the entire chapter 2, but chapter 2 is actually very important because it's going to be coming a little bit later in the book. Now, why the bread? Now, I have with me a slice of bread, or rather two slices of bread, and they are nondescript everyday slices of bread. You don't even think too much about them. And they are important because bread, as I've come to be able to discover in the Mushira household, is a very, very important commodity, especially when you have teenagers. There used to be a time when they used to eat bread. Nowadays, they inhale the bread. You come, you leave, and the bread is gone. And you're like, what happened? Now, growing up, I want to say that two slices of bread are very special to me. My father, as a humble civil servant, could not afford bread too much. And so bread used to be divided quite a bit in our house. And you are only allowed to take what? Two slices. And you'd be lucky if you got some blue band in between. Now, towards the end of the month, you might get a bit of some blue band and even some red, some zester plum jam. That one used to happen now once in a blue moon. But to a large extent, bread was one of those things that we held dear. As a high school student, I remember one time, once or twice, there would be a problem with the kitchen. And what would happen is that the school would supply us with half a loaf of bread and soda, and that was perhaps one of the best meals possible. You know, when you're a teenager, you're thinking more about filling rather than, you know, vitamins or many. No, that one is on the side. You want something that can hold the stomach, and I can see all the jamas, and yeah, they're shaking their heads. And they're like, yes, you want something to do what? To hold your stomach. And so half loaf is good. It's funny nowadays, we hardly eat bread. You know, it's funny how when you can afford some things, suddenly you're like, no, you can't eat them anymore. It's the irony of life. Yeah, now you're going back to ngwashe and all other manner of things. But don't worry, there is still a market for bread in our house. And talking about a bread, and in a sense, if you think about where we are, life is also about our parentheses. And when you look at these words that are before us, there are two words I want us to be able to be careful that are written here. The Lord appointed a great fish. The Lord spoke to the fish. Now, if you think about these two slices of bread as a form of our lives, in a sense in which you need to also recognize that our lives are lived in the tension of being born and also dying. But apart from that, there's something else very important, which you need to be careful and be aware of. And this is the whole aspect of the fact that we have a sense in which we live in the context of our lives being controlled by God. And I think that is the story of Jonah, that Jonah is having difficulties being able to understand that his life is in the hands of God and it is controlled by God. And every human being at one time or another, we have to come to this point whereby we need to be able to recognize the following, that God is the prime mover of our lives, and we should take that seriously and not for granted. And that the whole of our lives are all the more richer if we walk with him rather than walking against him, because at one time or another, we are going to be forced to come to recognize the fact that God exists. And it is very interesting that one of the things that always surprises me is that every single human being on earth, regardless of their status in life, at one time or another, they have to contend with the issue of who is God. The sum total of our lives can only be seen in the context of God as the beginner and the finisher of our lives. And Jonah being swallowed by a fish and being in its belly for 3 days and 3 nights, is actually a showing of God's sovereignty over our lives. Because why is Jonah finding himself in a position where he has to be swallowed by a fish? It's because he's been commissioned to do some very important work by God. And what is this work? To be able to go out and tell people about God. A people who he did not consider to be worthy of being able to hear God's word. And as a result of being able to find himself in that position, Jonah needs to be able to come to a place where he needs to ask himself, hey, what exactly is going on in my life? And Jonah decides to run away from God. But how far can you be able to run away from God? I think it has been laid out quite clearly that it is foolhardy to run away from God, because God is going to find you, because he is ultimately the creator of our lives. So if you think about life if you think about the message, the bread in a sense signifies who we are, a people. But more than that also, we are a complex humanity, but at the same time, we live our lives in the tension of always being controlled by God, whether we like it or not. And so, and even when you look at these verses carefully, notice the following. And the Lord appointed a great fish, and the Lord spoke to the fish. In a sense, telling us what? That God ultimately is the one who begins, and God is ultimately the one who finishes with us in our lives. But secondly, we come also to something very important. If you look carefully at the mural, we have Jonah being swallowed. On this other end, we have Jonah being spat out by the fish. But then there is this huge middle part. And if you look at this middle part over here, there is myself. There's quite a bit of some equipment. I need to be able to address that. And in the context of being able to address this, there is what we find the whole of chapter 2. And chapter 2 kind of gives us the feeling of what exactly is going on. So if you can be able to read with me, let's look at Jonah chapter 2 from verse 1. The Bible says this. Then Jonah, in the belly of the fish, prayed to God, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped up around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up, my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came up to you into your holy temple. What does these verses tell us? They begin to tell us something about Jonah in the belly of the fish. And it becomes almost an example of what exactly goes on in the tension of our existence. That yes, there is a time when we are born, and yes, a time when we die. And in the middle, that is where we find us doing life. And how does it look like when you're doing life? One of the most tragic events that I have to attend on a regular basis is a funeral. It tends to come with the territory of being a pastor. A part of what makes a funeral richer and more significant is the tributes. Sadly, many a times, some of the tributes are not well thought through. Sometimes when a life is not well lived, there isn't much to say, and the feeling in between the slice of death and birth and death isn't all good. Or sometimes it's because of the fact that people simply do not really know who you are. Now, as I said earlier on, growing up, you could easily be able to just take bread. And if you're lucky, you could be able to put a bit of some margarine in between, and all is good. But there's something a little bit more about bread, and you can actually be able to make it even more richer. And that is by being able to look for filling. And in a sense, today I was able to get a bit of some filling in the form of some ham, 2 slices, doing well. And more than that, it's good to be able to recognize that it's good to be able to have a bit of some filling in the form of some vegetables, you know, a tomato here and a tomato there. And at the end of it all, we're able to do what? To put them together. And we have a far much more filling meal than ever before. So what does that all end up telling us? The sense in which you need people to recognize that our lives at the end of the day is not just about existence. Jonah needs to be able to recognize that he's being filled by God's word. He's being filled as a prophet of God. He needs to be able to live his life far much bigger and far much wider than he could ever think or imagine. But what is it that Jonah does? Jonah, by running away, is forced into a form of retreat. And the retreat takes place in the most real of places, in the belly of a fish. And what happens inside the belly of the fish? Jonah has to come to the context of being able to understand that life is a little bit much bigger. Of great importance is to have a moment of solitude and confinement. And why that moment of solitude and confinement? Because he needs to be able to be reconnected with God. And that's a place where sometimes you need to be able to come to. This is what happens to Jonah while he's inside the fish. Inside the fish, Jonah recognized his utter dependence on God. Listen to the desperation of his voice. I cried out for help. I said, I have been banished. As my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord. When he exhausted hope, God moved in. And so what happens is that as the worship team have been able to tell us about the experience they've been able to have, and each and every one of us, we carry experiences which are very rich. But also sometimes we find ourselves in situations whereby the experiences that have come to us are also as a result of sin. But then there's something always wonderful. This is what I like about Christianity. And what is this? That inside the fish, God stripped away the prophet, both his pride and prejudice, and God removed all spiritual distractions. Inside the fish, Jonah submitted to God without reservation. And the beauty about being able to come to a place of solitude and being able to connect with God is that we get to be able to connect with him a little bit more. And that is important. One of the biggest tragedies of our existence today is that busyness has become our new form of tashish. We are busy to the point whereby we are always moving from one place to another, never resting, never being able to take time to be able to actually take stock and listen. You know, and it's very interesting that sometimes we are forced into that moment whereby we need to be able to listen to ourselves. And part of the problem of modernity is that modernity just makes us even more distracted from each other. Have you ever noticed that sometimes one of the best that can ever happen is a power blackout? Why? Because when a power blackout comes upon, the TV is off, suddenly the phone has to be put off, and sometimes even you have to light a candle. And what happens is that suddenly people can actually be able to listen to each other and hear each other and actually be able to talk to each other. It's good to be able to sometimes be able to take those moments of being able to reflect and to think about. Men, you know those words that sometimes we dread? We need to talk. Why? Because sometimes maybe there's been too many distractions here and there, and maybe say, the ladies say, can we be able to take time to be able to do what? To sit down and just talk and listen to each other. Now, somebody once said this, you either manage change or change will do what? Will manage you. And many a times what happens is that years and years of being distracted sometimes have to come to a head where we need to be swallowed up by circumstances which we're not aware of. And we're like, whoa, when did this all happen? So it's good for us to be able to have moments whereby instead of being forced into a Jonah-like situation where sometimes you have to be swallowed up by circumstances for us to be able to take stock and listen to each other, we are able to manage that space. Because ultimately, we each must come to that place whereby we need to be alone. Jonah got alone with God, and the voice of sin, of fame, and other things became faint sounds. But the voice of God became louder and clear. If you have wandered away from God and sense your need to be renewed in your faith, then get alone with him. Find a private place to meet with God. And you don't need a dramatic event. You just need to be alone with God. It's funny, we take holidays for many things, and we take time out for many, many things. But I wonder if we ever take time to be able to reflect a little bit more about God. But also, I want people to say this, sometimes life is also filled with the aspect of having to deal with the very difficult circumstances of our lives. And sometimes what happens is that, it's okay, Ken, I think it's on. Thank you very much. And sometimes what happens in the context of our lives is that our situations are not always plain and simple. You know, a sandwich like this one is good. But in the process of trying to eat it, some of the feelings might do what? Fall out. So what have we done in the modern life? We've been able to come up with a sandwich maker, which helps us be able to seal everything what? Together. And so we're able to put it in there, and we're able to seal things in there, and allow them to get a little bit to cook in there. But then something interesting is happening. As the cooking is going on, that sometimes is a representation of very difficult circumstances that we go through. Some of the most private, intense moments of our lives are far away from, are hidden from people. Some of the experience that we have as a people and as a community come from a place of being able to have those lonesome, difficult moments. But what happens? When you are in that situation, what is the one thing that is going to be able to hold you together? Jonah is able to look back to God's word. Jonah chapter 2 verse 3, your billows swept over me, compares very much to Psalm 42 verse 7. I have been banished, chapter 2 verse 4, compares very much to Psalm 31, 32. Engulfed up to my neck compares very much to Psalm 69 verse 1. My life was fading away compares very much to Psalm 147 verse 3. You see, cauldron and hot moments of our lives which are forming us can sometimes only make sense in the context of also being filled with God's word. God's word is critical in terms of being able to, for us to make sense of our difficult circumstances, even when those difficult circumstances are as a result of our own folly, are as a result of our own sin. And that happens. The only way you can be able to think God will make a way for me when there is no way is as a result of you actually having known that before. It doesn't happen in the context of the difficulty. So why was God's word so critical to Jonah's spiritual recovery? One, God speaks through his word to the heart. So it's good to be able to know that we are constantly filling our hearts with God's word. It is critical and it is good. The word of God reminds us of being able to know at the end of the day, this is the only thing that matters. God guides our thoughts through his thoughts. So God's word becomes the only thing that you can actually be able to hold on to. Some of you here, probably the one thing that stopped you from probably being able to give out a bribe to be able to win a certain contract or to be able to get out of a certain jam, is because of being able to remind yourself God's word. Jesus, when he's tempted by Satan, the only place he can be able to go to is to God's word. But it doesn't go to God's word at that very moment. It's as a result of being able to interact with this word in the past. But God's word also has a cleansing effect on us. Notice that Jonah's rebellious heart softened. God's word was the one that guided him back to be able to know God. All of us will from time to time experience a deep sense of being far away from God. And as a result of sin or just our eyes not being focused on God, during moments of deep anxiety and anguish of the heart, it is easy to feel as if we are sinking far, far away from God. What I like about Jonah is that at that moment, he did not despair. Jonah focused on God as his rescue. Secondly, let us practice the art of solitude and being alone with God. When these slices of bread are inside this sandwich maker, something is happening to them out of sight. Something amazing is being prepared. Solitude is something we are scared of because we are forced sometimes to confront our demons and also acknowledge our utter dependency on God. And that is something that we all have to deal with at one time or another. So we have the bread, which represents very much our lives. We have the filling, which represents the in-between whereby we are. But ultimately, why do we end up having a sandwich maker? What is its purpose ultimately? Ultimately, this is the moment where I'm hoping that it is ready. It's to be able to open and voila, what do we have? We have something that can be used. What is the purpose of a sandwich ultimately? To eat it. I mean, that's why we have it prepared so it can actually be eaten. The reasons why you came today to church is not just because to fulfill something today and be able to go home and deal with our lives. No. We came so that we can be filled up with God's word. We can be able to go out there and become a source of joy and a source of nourishment to people around and about us. The aroma that is coming from here is not just for the sake of us being able to smell something good. No, 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 no. You know what? You are the aroma of Christ each and every day to the people around and about you. And because you are the aroma of Christ, people sometimes are looking for hope in you. And the good thing is this, sometimes you guys are of the ability to be able to go to places where I cannot be able to go to. And because you have that ability to be able to go to places where I cannot be able to go to, ultimately, you are always taking the aroma of Christ every place that you may find yourself. And so it's good for us to be able to see what Jonah's confession is, ultimately, the sandwich. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you what I vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. So it's good to be able to remember this, that this beautiful sandwich is not just for show. Ultimately, it is for us to be able to feed on it and to be able to be nourished and to not only nourish ourselves, but also to be able to nourish others around us. Verse 8 and 9 are key, for they point us to the ultimate reason why Jonah was in the belly of the fish. We may not see at first, but that being swallowed by the fish is actually an act of grace and salvation from the Lord. Your difficult circumstance sometimes is, you may see it almost like a calamity, but in many instances, it is a point of incredible grace. You want to be able to learn how to be kind to people? Sometimes you have to actually be able to learn the humility of actually having to ask. You know, one time I was in a matatu and I realized that I did not have a single coin on me. And I had to go through the whole embarrassment of saying, I said it loud. Can somebody please pay for me? And everybody kind of... Man, if you want to be able to feel, if you want to know how to feel being alone, it was at that moment. Everybody began to read what they were reading. I felt very much alone at that moment. But you know what happens? That experience was good. Because next time somebody says, boss, can you please at least pay for me? Okay, there's always a moment that you maybe are being conned. Okay, there's that aspect. But sometimes you can't always go, maybe this guy is actually really in dire straits. I better do what? Sort them out. And so what happens is that sometimes in those difficult accounts that you sometimes go through, they are a preparation for you not to be too jaded about life, for you not to be too cynical about what happens in the lives of people out there. But more than that, difficult circumstances are also powerful moments for the gospel to go forward. The great persecution of the church in Jerusalem resulted in the church actually being spread out. And it is in Antioch where Christians, where the disciples of Jesus first called what? Christians. As a result of what? Of being able to go out as a result of their persecution. For 3 days and three nights, Jonah was in the belly of a fish so that he could be saved. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 to 41, Jesus says these words. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment seat of this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Jonah was a very flawed prophet. But today, we are preached to by a prophet far much greater than Jonah, and that is Jesus Christ, who suffered and died and was actually in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. As I finish, you may feel like you're in the belly of a fish and you may feel like there's no hope. But today, I'd like to tell you to have a different perspective. This is a season of preparation and being refocused to do the really great things. It is a preparation to be able to tell the world of God's salvation that they belong to God. So don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at your situation and say, oh, I am lost. Yes, you could be lost or you could be in a sin because of your own sin. But the beautiful thing about God's word, this is what I love about Christianity, is that ultimately the same God who strikes me is the same God who embraces me. He is the perfect parent that could ever ask or imagine. Salvation belongs to our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make you safe and upon you.